Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast.
Yeah, just a simple little thing, and she was included in the group. So those are the kinds of things that I think Jesus wants us to do. So will you pray with me? All right, let's pray. Dear God, we pray that and ask that you would help us to include people as much as we can all of the time. And we ask this in your name. Amen. All right, thank you guys.
So I was exposed to sports appreciation at a young age, thanks to my dad. And he loved to watch everything from golf and boxing and, of course, football. Some of my earliest memories of actually experiencing sports firsthand wasn't actually playing a sport, although one would argue, like Daniela and I, that cheerleading is a sport. And I stood on the sidelines and I cheered at football games and I would scream for the team to move that ball or defense hold that line or touchdown, screaming and screaming. Well, I started to attend pro sporting events with Norman, my husband, and I have a fond memory of attending my first real football game in Barcelona. And I was totally fascinated by the intense fan culture, which if you've never experienced it, trust me, it is a culture all its own. And I remember feeling incredible energy in the atmosphere, and I could literally sense the passion and devotion and commitment of those 100,000 fans in the stands. Man, it was contagious. And I recently checked the dictionary to find out what the word fan meant. And it simply means an enthusiastic follower. And this made me think about all the times throughout the Gospels that Jesus said, "Follow me." I also thought about how the Bible says that we are to be enthusiastic in our relationship with God. For example, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. That's enthusiasm. In fact, the word enthusiasm comes from two words, en and theos, meaning in God. When you are in God, you will be energetic about it. A relationship with God goes hand in hand with passion. Our enthusiasm is a key part of our witness to others. It is evidence that our relationship with Jesus is authentic. That is why the Bible says not only to serve the Lord, but to do it with gladness. The Bible doesn't say pray, it says pray fervently. And it doesn't just say give, but it says happier those people whose God is the Lord, and he commanded us to be cheerful givers. If you are passionate about sports or hobbies, that's awesome. But let's make sure our passion for God exceeds every other passion in our lives. When you're a true fan, an enthusiastic follower of Jesus, it's always a win. So, for this fall kickoff, this morning, let's be enthusiastic about giving and re-energize our passions for God this morning as the ushers enthusiastically wait upon the congregation for this morning's tithes and offerings. All that we do is in your holy name, O God. Even as we share the riches of our labors, may we continue to honor your name in all that we do. Bless these gifts given freely, that your justice and mercy may prevail in a weak and weary world. Amen. You may be seated.
You know, sometimes you have to improvise. So will you pray with me? Holy God, as we come before you today, we give you thanks for a moment where we can enter into a place that has been set aside for your worship, a place that has been set aside to look at the world in a different way than we typically do, a place where we can receive support and care, a place where we can share smiles and kind words. Lord, a place where we can be with friends, with family, and most of all, that we can be with you. Lord, as we are here to worship you, we are also here to share with you. We're here to share with you our hearts. We're here to share with you our lives. And Lord, we not only invite you into them, but Lord, we also have spaces where we need you, where we need your care, where we need your love, where we need your grace, where we need your mercy and compassion. And Lord, we do begin to think about those around us who are excluded. Lord, those that for whom exclusion comes sometimes in very subtle ways and sometimes in very overt ways. Whether it be color of skin, Lord, whether it be life situation, whether it be preferences, whether it be identity, whether it be gender, whether it be disability. Lord, we pray for those who are excluded, those whom you put in our hearts right now. And Lord, we lift them up to you. And we pray and we ask that we might be people who represent your embrace. One that does not discriminate. One that is all-encompassing. Lord, help us to be your people. And Lord, in a moment of silence, we offer up to you all of those weights and the prayers that we have carried in here for others. And yes, Lord, the prayers that we have for ourselves, we offer them up to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And Lord, prepare our hearts to receive your word. May it take root within our hearts, and may we be shaped so that all might know of your great love. We pray this in the holy name of Christ our Lord.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 37. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. From there, he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, For it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre, and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So the jersey that you see on me today is the last remaining vestige of my tackle football career. That's right, I played high school football, and honestly, I wasn't very good at it. I was a little undersized and a little too light and not quite strong enough to really be good at it. But more than not being any good, the truth is that at the school that I played at, I really didn't enjoy the culture of intimidation and shame that our coaches operated within. It just wasn't me. And for example, there was this one Saturday where we were down having our post-game Saturday film session. And these are the sessions where, you know, the next day after the game, you'd come in and we'd all go down into the coach's room. It was like this basement and it was musty, and they had this little 16-millimeter camera that would, you know, you'd get the little classic rattle of the projector, and it was black and white, and, you know, we'd sit and watch the film, and the coaches would kind of go and work through it so that there'd be the moments that you were, you know, like, oh, this is a great play, watch, and we'd all applaud, and then, of course, there were the moments where the plays weren't so great. Right? And they would play that over and over again to point out where someone had failed. And you know, when we played well and when we won, Saturday film sessions were fun. It was a good time. There was a lot of laughter. But when we lost or when we played poorly, well, let's just say that film sessions could be incredibly uncomfortable and they could be downright humiliating. But there is a moment that I will never forget in particular. As we were watching the film, this is like after the first game of the season, one of the coaches stopped and rewound the film and then played it again and pointed out one of my teammates walking over to a member of the other team and helping him up off of the ground. And the coach asked Jose, my teammate, to stand up in front of everybody. And then asked him, Son, why did you help your enemy up? And Jose answered, Sir, he was my cousin. But the coach made it clear what he expected. Said, I don't care if he is your brother or your friend or your cousin or your mother. If they are wearing the other team's jersey, they are your enemy. And if I see any of you helping one of your enemies up off the ground again, you will all run stadiums until your legs fall off. Do you understand me?